don't give a damn if it's 9 a.m. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking. Give me beer or whiskey, wine or gin. Anything to shake this mood I'm in. My football team's got me drinking.
Back at it again with the Blue Testament crew. Here for another Shades of Blue soccer show. We're one short this week. I myself am here.
I'm kidding.
We have to talk about England.
You said you were talking like with an English accent all day today. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I did. It was very fun.
All right.
I was working from home alone by myself, so a lot of it was in my head, but I sounded really good.
I still like to hear it.
I know. If they had won, would you have done this? Would you have dedicated this entire episode to England speaking in an English accent?
I would have, absolutely. but it ended with the loss.
Yeah. Sweet goal, though.
It really was.
A beautiful goal.
And it just came out of nowhere. Like, teams try so hard to do all this to score, and it was just like a random header glanced off a guy's head right to another player, and one shot, and their World Cup hopes are over.
Yeah. And then that extra time goal, too.
Well, that's what he was talking about.
Yeah, that was the extra.
He kind of confused me there because I said sweet goal referring to the free kick, and then he talked about that one, so I was confused.
Well, it was a sweet goal.
They were both.
They were both good. Anyway,
now I'm trying to think of what goal I'm thinking about.
Well, but we have done a podcast without myself. We've done without Allie. We've done without Thad tonight, but we can never do one without Cody.
That is true.
Cody's that important.
Damn straight.
That's right.
He's
got the keys.
He's got the keys. He has the access, and we just sneak in randomly through the back door in all wearing all black.
Audience may not like me, but it doesn't matter. Like I'm gonna be here every time.
He's going nowhere.
So we worship at
Cody's
feet. Yes.
I'm also gonna try to take my voice down an octave now because I've learned that I have people talking shit. I get animated, my voice goes up. Sorry.
And because your mother's coming, I have plastic surgery scheduled next week. But anyway.
Yeah, my mother, upon hearing Bob's voice,
nose reduced.
She's going to be really mad. She's going to listen to this and be really mad that I told you. But she...
Love you, Mom.
She,
what's her name?
Shelly was listening to the pod and just was imagining Bob, I guess, as this... handsome
Fabio
debonair
from, like,
yeah.
From those like romance novels with like the flowing
hair. There you go.
Yeah, because
riding
of
a horse.
Definitely what I'm not.
Because of his great radio voice. And,
and
upon seeing an Instagram, she was a little disappointed.
Scary. So I don't think I've gotten anything that I've heard of in the comments or from a family member of anyone from the pod, and don't. I'm fragile. I'm kidding. If you have any criticism,
no,
let me have it.
I'm fragile, she said.
Yeah, right.
Okay, Bob.
Yes, sir.
Bobbert.
Yes.
You came out with a quality article today.
Oh, well, thank you. Appreciate it. On Allie's favorite guy. Wait a minute. Who is that this
week? Little brother.
Is that Russell or is that Shelly? Who is that this week?
It's okay. Rotating. For
it changes.
Yes.
It's ever changing.
Zusie is the only rock in that one, though. I think Zusie is like always.
Honestly. Yeah. Okay, so my mom loves
Now, if you talk about this Ilier. Bobby guy on this novel riding this horse, and Zuzi's the guy, right?
Zuzi pre-haircut? Absolutely.
All right, absolutely.
I don't know how that fade necessarily translates to
He's been
to
put
a,
on notice.
Yeah.
We need Zeus, the locks
grow
back.
Back out. We need you for a book photo shoot, like a cover.
Okay,
cover
well,
shoot.
If you haven't read Bob's piece on the Blue Testament, it is titled...
Sporting Kansas City's Daniel Shalley, a study.
What does the first part mean? A study. As in
he's
like a case study.
He studies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was kind of that. He's someone who studies. He's a study.
Well, it's very
study,
good. Just tell us about your interviews with him. What you learned about the young lad.
Yeah. I mean, Daniel, as we all know from Allie's interviews with him too, is a very likable, mild-mannered, fun guy to talk to. He's just got this inner joy.
It's still very genuine.
He's still very much a kid in some ways.
Yes,
you know?
Boyish. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So candid. That's what I love. I mean, you don't get that scripted response. Like, what you hear is exactly what you get. I mean, I'm sure everyone here has had some sort of interaction with him, even off off the record, off camera, and he is like the same guy.
Yeah.
So
he seems like the kind of guy, though, if things even were going wrong, he'd still be the same way.
He'd still be smiling, probably.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. But no, I just asked him a little bit about, you know, his goal scoring prowess, which obviously he scored, what, six of the last 11 games. He's been really integral to the success of Sporting. But he said, I liked his quote about Ike. He said, when I was a kid growing up, I, you know, always wanted to score goals, always wanted to be a striker. I never understood those kids who you know, didn't want to be one. So I asked Ike one day, you know, why defender? And Ike's like, you think I wanted to be a defender?
He and Ike have like a funny dynamic. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen on Twitter. They always kind of get back and forth with one another. I mean, Ike's just like, he's that guy on the team for sure. So it's,
I was always that same way. Like, why on earth would anyone ever want to sit back there and try to play defense?
Or be a goalkeeper.
But exactly. But so Ike's answer to that was interesting because my older sister was always a defender, and she was just the opposite. Like she was like, I can't imagine wanting to be something else. So that was like interesting hearing Ike be like, oh no, yeah, I just wasn't good enough.
Well, and it also kind of backs my point. I know we've talked about it on this podcast. Would it hurt to see Ike Opara up top?
Hey. It fulfill his dream and you know, maybe ours.
Let's make his dream happen. Peter, put that guy at center forward. Kyrie Shelton's out. We found a replacement.
Allie's not dropping that one. And she also wants to see Kyrie as a center back, too. So
I think Kyrie actually has his temperament and who he kind of is as a person would be a great defender. He seems like the guy who would kind of go out on a limb for people that he cares about. I kind of get that vibe from him.
Okay. You're a vibe kind of girl, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah. I don't buy it. I don't buy that he'd be a good defender in any way. I don't disagree with anything you just said, but I don't think he'd be a good defender.
All right, well, back to Shaoli. Anyway, the friend portion of the title, I didn't develop as much as I wanted to because it kind of went away from the point of him being a goal scorer. But him and Johnny, I guess, apparently became good friends riding in the van to training in preseason, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's continued through. They sit next to each other in the locker room as well. And, you know, we've all been in the locker room post-game, and Johnny is always giving some stick to Daniel if people are interviewing him around the locker because Johnny can't get to his seat and everything. And Daniel will throw some side points at Johnny while he's interviewing as well, too. So, but fun relationship, good guys.
Definitely.
And Daniel, like I said, he has some abilities that just are – just given that are natural that he's also developed and honed through study and effort.
Yeah, you can see it very quickly watching him in training or anywhere. You can see that he's just got that something.
And what I liked, I think the most in your article was the quotes from Peter about his attitude and his passion and that he has the perfect attitude to be successful as a forward. He's willing to learn. He's willing to grow. And like Peter said, his trajectory from there can only go up.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think... Yeah, while like the success that we're seeing is great, I think people often forget he's only 21, almost 22, and you know, with the right attitude, the skill, all the potential in the world, I mean, we'll be seeing big things from him in a few years.
Yeah, there was a quote I didn't use. I took out because I had a hard time fitting it in, the relevancy of it. But here's the idea. Peter said after, I think, the Houston game that, you know, when Kansas City attacks aggressively and with an aggressive mindset, that's when they're best. And I wanted to make the point that Daniel has that, and if everybody could just be like Daniel, maybe we'd be a little more successful in moments when we need to be.
I think that's a Europeanness.
You think so?
I don't know if it's a word, but that's definitely what it is, a lethal Europeanness.
Yeah. Well, he's got it literally
hungry
in his blood.
Hungarian.
Him, his father.
Yes.
He's, what, the fourth generation in his family to play professional soccer? So,
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we got... this Hungarian immediately after losing another one that a lot of people were upset about. But I think down the road, this one will be more useful to us.
Christian Namath, I believe he was referring to.
That is who I'm referring to.
Yeah, I hope he's here for a number of years, but, you know, I'm not keeping my fingers crossed.
Even if he's not, I hope he goes and makes that money somewhere.
Oh, well, yeah, sure, sure.
Because the team will see some of that.
Yeah, definitely. And let's just put a sideline, you know, Daniel's tweet this week, his favorite player is now on his favorite team. So, you know, good for Daniel.
Yeah.
Cristiano Ronaldo is now with Juventus. So, yeah.
Okay. Let's briefly talk about the last game.
Let's do it.
Ilie PK.
Mm-hmm.
Cool as you like, as they say.
Yes.
And Johnny Russell gets his seventh on the season and his 100th career. He's hit the century mark.
But Ali's favorite part?
Guys, the front flip. Like, we cannot... I'm up in the press box, and I feel like so many people are, you know, working to write down what just happened.
Me.
And they... I looked behind me, and people were like, had their noses down in their computers, and I was like,
You shocked me because you were right next to me. I was like, what?
Oh my gosh. It was amazing. I mean, who knew that he could do that?
Yeah,
Johnny,
I wasn't ready
Johnny
for it.
Johnny Hattrick is full of tricks, and that is something that he just showed us on Saturday. And I asked him after the game, I was like, Johnny, that flip and interview with Johnny coming soon. Have had some technical difficulties.
So was
with
it planned?
Was
the flip planned?
He was like, it was pretty spontaneous. I was like, have you been practicing that? And that was, you know, kind of off, like right before we were, you know, getting everything set up to interview. And I was like, so what was that flip? I was like, was that planned? Or when he's like, oh, like, I haven't done that in forever. So I'm like, you're telling me that you haven't done that in forever. And you just, I'm just going to go flip, like, just celebrate with a nice little flip that I haven't practiced in forever. But who knows?
No, I don't ever look away. I'll always wait for the run to the corner. You got to, the key part of a goal is the celebration. I was paying
you
attention.
Right.
Okay, so you Cody right. and I saw it.
It was very good. I liked it. Okay, so also in that game, Kyrie Shelton has been hurt, but also he didn't start. So I was gonna say we lost him, but we have lost him. But he also wasn't starting already as the striker.
But that play where he got hurt was almost a goal. I mean, he would have gotten his second 3-2 game winner there. Should have been pretty sweet.
Wish he had. But he played well when he came on.
I know. And I saw him at the Swope game, and literally the first thing he said was like, I was like, oh, like, Kai, how you doing? And he was like, and we were just kind of talking about the play. And he's like, but like, he was like, I almost scored. And I was like, I know. Like, I was sweet for that event. So yeah, hopefully we see him back.
How do we deal? How does Sporting Kansas City deal?
Well.
So the prognosis is about a month. We're thinking he's going to be out.
Okay. With a knee injury.
All right. Mm-hmm. An important month. I mean, how did you guys think that Rubio played? Because online, it's been kind of up and down. Some people think he played well. Some people think he was crap. What do you guys think?
I was disappointed. Mm-hmm. I wanted, before the game, I'm like, oh, this is such a big chance for him to come out and do something big. And there wasn't anything like that.
But
there's an argument that he played okay, I guess, but.
But no, my thing
too. So you're underwhelmed. Underwhelmed
is
the term for Cody.
My thing with that, though. Okay. Rubio's come in. He's gotten some huge, you know, goals in a 2 to 3 minute span, or 43 seconds, I think, was the time he was on the field before he scored that goal against Houston. And it's like he's held to such a higher standard now when he gets these starts, even though he can prove that he can come in and do these things, whereas Kyrie Shelton would be out there for however many minutes over however many games without scoring a goal. And then it's, you know, Diego's out there and he doesn't score a goal or he doesn't assist or whatever when he's starting, and it's like, oh, well, then he's bad. So I mean, I'd still like to see a little bit more from him. You know, we haven't really gotten to see as much of Diego Rubio this season, but I think there's still the question who's going to occupy that role. Will it keep changing?
I really liked Belmar. It looked like he was giving them a target to try to hit at the top of the attack. Like he was giving them something to look for up top. There was just something that like he brought that like the team was lacking before he got out there. And it looked like the players behind him were like more eager to find that guy up top, because like if they're more confident in him or something. But they were definitely just, the team looked way more lively with Belmar out there.
Yeah, I think he brought really great energy, up the tempo for sure. The way he runs and moves is so dynamic and creative, and he's so fast. Like, you can't take,
he's
you can't deny
horse.
How fast and, but like, strong, not just fast.
Right.
He's, you know, he can hold the ball while making these runs. And in the Swope game last night, he actually got an amazing assist for Haji Berry.
Yeah.
beat some guys, got straight to the line, made a beautiful cross. So that's what I would be interested to see. Not just him as a center forward being that target per se, but also the guy who's making those quick runs with a beautiful cross, Johnny Russell, on the finish. So I think seeing Belmar a little bit more in that role, giving him, you know, that time to get past that, I don't know if it's, I don't know, the nerves that kind of come with playing with the senior team, but I think he would be great.
I think it's worth a chance. You know, Shallowy can play there too. But yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Shallowy, Belmar, Russell front line. Why not?
Yeah. I think, have we seen much of that? Like those three together?
Well, the only game that Belmar started was the Open Cup game in Real Salt Lake. Is that right?
And he was on the wing, wasn't he?
Mm. Was he?
Yeah.
I don't think Russell started that, did he?
No.
I don't think so.
But he played that game.
He was coming back from Scotland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're
Scottish
right.
Duty.
You're right. You're right.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that at all. Those three have been, you know, in that front line together at all this season.
That's our preferred.
Well, I don't know if Cody wants me to go here, but one reason I would see that as our preferred is, yeah, I love Gerso, and Gerso is fun to watch.
Yeah.
He is.
No, he's not.
Really, when it comes down to the final product, it just isn't there.
Man, I'm at my wit's end with Gerso.
Yeah.
Well, and here's when Gerso's best. When you're up and you're trying to hold on to the lead and you just need someone annoying
and quick.
Kick the
ball into space.
And
right.
Just
run it down.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Make,
oh, yeah.
Cause a commotion for the other team's defense.
I mean, he was doing that all game against Toronto, to be honest with you. He was causing commotion because we weren't having much success down the middle, so we were using that wing a lot. But it's just that final product.
Yeah.
Cody, he's just so frustrating when he gets down there. His cross might be wayward or it might be good. You don't know.
Right.
And then his 1v1, he loses the ball sometimes. I don't know. He is frustrated.
I mean,
I'm
done with getting my hopes up with it. And every game I'm like, yes, he's going to do it. He's going to. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. But he is fun. Yeah.
So, yes, that's the three that I want up there.
Okay. Let's do it, Peter.
And then, he can come off, and then Gerso can come off the bench. He can be useful off the bench.
Yeah. Yeah. Same with Rubio.
Well, to be honest with you, I would not be surprised if that's what happens come this weekend. See Belmar up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then again, I wouldn't be surprised to see Rubio in there either. But
yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
What do we know? Do we know anything from training on that front?
Thad?
I mean,
over to you guys. I'm sitting in Thad's seat today because usually Cody and I share a mic because there are three microphones in the studio. And Thad is like on the other side of the table, tucked away in the corner, and that's me tonight. And that doesn't mean that I did volunteer, but that doesn't
Ricard
mean that I have
sarcasm,
the
dry humor, and Quick Trip drink. Where's your hat?
I know, I forgot my hat, I forgot my hoodie.
Dang it.
And you weren't
mustache?
You weren't trying to scarf down like some protein bar right before we ate, and I had to wait until he stopped chewing to start recording.
I can go grab one really quick. That's what we need.
That is busy tonight. He's covering
That's been a busy bee.
Covering some soccer at Swope, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Academy games.
But no, we have no information from training on that due to Thad's absence.
And then honestly, sometimes even if we do, we can't say it.
Right.
That's right. Accurate.
Penny color
information.
Accurate, partial.
Yeah.
We'll give you the gist of it. That's about it.
Okay, let's talk about the Red Bulls, who just broke their 4-game winning streak.
Lost their crosstown rivals.
In
That's
the New York
suck.
Derby. New York is blue.
At the moment, yes, it is.
So we think we have our front line set for them. What about the midfield?
Or should we talk about our midfield?
Let's talk about the Red Bulls first.
Okay.
What do you have?
Well, speaking of the Red Bulls midfield, Tyler Adams has been a big rock for them all year, and looks like he might be transferred to Leipzig. Is that how you say it? Am I right there?
Close enough. You added a little flair to it that
Did
I don't normally do,
okay.
but yeah.
So if that means he's out for this game, that's an advantage for us. They have a new coach.
He's reuniting with Jesse Marsh.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm sure there's no coincidence there whatsoever.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But good for him. Go, America. I like it.
Right.
Send those kids elsewhere.
Exactly. Be good for him. But I think we might be catching him at the right time. Down after last week, new coach. Adams gone. As long as we take care of Bradley Wright Phillips, right?
Which is not an easy task, and it doesn't seem like we've ever done that very well.
And, well, I mean, if Ike's in there, I have confidence Ike can take care of him. But
yeah.
Do we think Ike will start this weekend coming off of his he left the field with an injury against Toronto? I don't know.
Okay,
will
well,
Peter want to ease
do
him
our,
in?
I have a quick injury rundown.
All right, yeah,
so
let's do that.
Okay.
Felipe. Lots to report.
Felipe is full training, and he's ahead of schedule, quote, end quote.
Cody's getting his hopes up.
I already had my hopes up. Ike should be ready, is what we know.
Should being the key word.
Should. Busio is training in full, and Lobato and Madronda are running again.
All right. Sounds good to me.
I'm just happy to see Madronda doing something again.
Yes.
I miss my guy.
So, I mean, do you guys feel comfortable with a Beasler-Amore combo, if that's what's necessary, to keep Opara out and, you know, just make sure he's good? Or what do you think?
Yeah. Probably more so than a lot of people I do. But I like Amore, and I think that's a good enough backline to get a result.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I wonder, will we see Graham Smith again?
Ooh. He seems to be, I don't know if out of favor is the word, but did he not play with Swope the other night?
He did.
He did. So mm-hmm. He played there.
Also, but
yeah, he played the full 90, and Brad Evans actually.
Exactly. Yeah.
Started the first half.
But, you know, Bradley White Phillips is not a speedster. I mean, he's quick. He's smart, but he's not somebody that's going to, you know, necessitate an Ike Opara athleticism to stay
right.
with. You know?
More like an Emiliano Moore brick wall.
Yeah, him and Beasley are working together. I'm sure smart enough to take care of him. So, yeah, that could work. But, you know, they just might be careful with Ike is all I'm saying.
Yeah, I would see that being. I mean, they were careful with Bees.
Right, exactly, yeah.
In recent games when he was coming off of, you know, his injury. So I could see them doing the same with Ike. And Ike also, I think, I know Peter talks a lot about, like, the psychological strain, especially at this point in the season. And, you know, maybe Ike's kind of had some flubs, we'll call them. I know that's our word over here on the podcast. So maybe a little break, get him in the second half or end of the second.
And
I don't know.
Nothing is taking Jalen Lindsay out of the left back spot, right? Is that his?
He's been looking
good. He looks great.
I like Kuzain looked good last against TFC as well, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, that little play down the sideline with the two of them.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Oh my god.
Dirty.
Oh, I love it.
Dirty.
Dirty. So
I like
good.
That.
I mean,
I like that.
The pass from him that, like, just stayed right, the pass from Kuzain that just barely stayed in down the line, got an audible, like, noise out of that intern that I was sitting next to.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, that was very good. That was a great
little
1-2.
That was really good to see.
The kids are showing well, yeah.
They're showing well, and, like, Jalen plays well beyond his years. I mean, you would, if you didn't know anything about the team or anything about anyone on the field, you would never watch a full game. And if someone asks you, oh, how old do you think, like, the left back is, I don't think anyone would be
and
18 years old, like,
yeah, and not looking, if you, like, don't look at his face and you just, like, look at his physique, also very mature. Like, doesn't look like a kid out there.
He can compete physically,
yeah,
and I love seeing he does some really cheeky moves
he had a
watching
flick
him
on
like
that
his
one
footwork
play.
Exactly,
yeah. I mean, even more so than like Zusi or some of the other guys in that back line, like, he can be really shifty in his moves, and it's cool because he doesn't get flustered under pressure. He just calmly, like,
it's cool that he even thinks to do of it,
right?
Which is
like so many players, it's like and especially a defender who, you know, trying to get out from pressure, you have someone running at you so fast, and he's just
an 18 year old,
yeah. So his maturity, his physical abilities, I mean, he's great.
I may be a little late to the party. I mean, I've noticed those things, but just it hit me this past weekend that they just feel and look comfortable now. Like they belong. And that's the vibe that I got kind of from them. Yeah. It's okay.
Definitely.
They've arrived. They're comfortable. They're going to go only up from here.
And they honestly, they needed to be that way.
Yeah.
Like they, with so many, and I know Peter touched on this after the Toronto game, with all the injuries, like they weren't just getting time because, you know, obviously he had said multiple times, like, they deserve to get the chance. But it was like they were coming up big, not just because, oh, it's an open cup game and we're getting the young guys in. But it's like, no, we actually need you to get out there and we actually need you to make an impact because you are like, you are one of the last options that we have, even if, and now they're, since they've shown themselves so well, now they are maybe even referred to as number one, number two option, whereas maybe before they would have been even further down the depth chart. So
at least we're getting to see them. I know it's out of necessity and that's not good, but Eric Palmer Brown left us and we like really never even got to like
exactly.
see him play. So.
Good point. So we got Lindsay, Amore, Beasler, Azuzi probably in the back line. We think the midfield's going to be Ilya.
I mean,
always.
Who else would it be?
Cousin and Crozet. Is that what we're thinking? Oh. Well, wait a minute. Espinosa will be back. What am
yeah,
I talking about?
Yeah, I was like, okay.
Espinosa
yeah.
will be back. So Espinosa jumps in, probably him, Ilya, and Crozet. Is that what we're thinking?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, Roger is back.
Yes, I...
Oh, thank God.
Brain fart there for a second. Apologies.
No, you're... I...
We need him in the midfield. We need him and Ilya working together.
Yeah, Kaku is a danger for Red Bulls that we need to make sure we take care of, so they can handle that for sure.
Everyone on Reddit, hear that again. Sporting Kansas City needs Roger Espinosa out on the field very badly.
If you don't appreciate Roger Espinosa, then... don't listen to this podcast.
And I have to mention, I don't know if it's Cheese Bro or if it's Chad Smith, but you said the word flub earlier.
I did.
He was digging on my digging on flubber on, was it on Slack, I think, this week? Did you guys see that?
On the
yeah,
movie?
Yeah, you should
or
never
on
pick on flubber. It's a great classic. I'm like, hey, sorry.
Chad, who said that? Chad said that?
Chad or Cheese Bro or I don't know. Who. It was one of the two, I think. So, yeah. Well, at least we know these people are listening, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
someone's exactly. listening.
They're listening to something we're talking about, yeah. even if it is flubber. Not our insightful partial analysis of Sporting Kansas City.
Okay, what else we have for the Red Bulls? Any points we should discuss? Any matchups we're worried about?
Not that I can think of.
We've talked about Bradley. Red Phillips is the one really to worry about.
Kaku feeding him from the midfield, and then Adams possibly being gone, which is really their Roger Espinosa.
I mean, if they've secured a loan, he's not.
Oh,
their
Ilya,
to... yeah. If he's already officially with another team, there's no way he'll play.
Last time we played them in New York, Sporting 2, Red Bulls 0, back in April 2016.
I recall, but I also recall Bradley Wright Phillips doing his classic heel click against us multiple times in one game. And I love it. I like hate it, but I love it. It's classy celebration.
You know, you guys are probably going to criticize me for this, but my favorite Bradley Wright Phillips moment was in the All-Star game when he scored a couple years ago. It was a sweet goal in transition against, who was that against? Heck, I don't remember who was it against, but it was a sweet goal.
Was that the Barcelona year?
I think it was, yeah.
When Pep and Caleb yeah. Porter got into it.
I think that's exactly
that
the same year.
That was a great
was,
All-Star
yeah.
game.
Yeah. That was a sweet goal. Phillips can put the biscuit in the basket.
Allie, what's good on your phone over there?
Well, I was looking something up for New York Red Bulls, Cody.
Oh, okay.
But you can try to call me out over here as much as you want.
Is that what you've been looking up on your phone the whole time? Okay, well, what'd you look up?
Well,
hit us with it.
I'm in the process of pulling it out. So hold on.
Okay.
Momentarily.
I'll stretch over here.
Okay. Yeah, you start stretching.
So, you know, guys, if you don't know it, the people are listening. Every time we go to the game in the press box, there's this, I don't know, 20, 30-page packet of the minutiae of every statistic related to each team in the game. You guys ever actually read through that stuff?
There's
so much stuff there.
No,
it's incredible.
I actually have like one or two times, like actually full detail, like underlining, highlighting things.
Exactly, yeah.
It's kind
it's
of exhausting.
It is.
It is exhausting.
It is. But
and a waste of paper too.
And who gets paid to update that stuff every single week?
It's
got to
be. It's got to be Sam Cosvin, right?
You think so? Yeah. But you're right. It is a waste of paper. But anyway.
Okay. I was hoping we were going to go short today, and we have.
Well, yeah. I mean, sure.
Anything else we should talk about? No, wait, there was something on Reddit that I wanted to. Oh, someone on Reddit, I don't remember what the OP was, but it was like someone commented and said, these reporters, including Sam, need to hit harder when talking to Vermees about the search for a number 9. And this guy legitimately said, because they need to be reminded that they promised a striker. That's a real thing that a person
so
said.
He's the poster is saying it's our responsibility.
Well,
to call.
Well, apparently what he believes is that if somehow if a reporter starts annoying Vermees about it, he'll like, be like,
gonna,
oh, all right. All right, now
he's
I'm going to
open
sign
up
him.
And tell us everything, right?
Now I'm going to sign her as a striker. Okay.
People understand how well coached Peter Vermees is when handling media. Like, the man cannot be shaken, and he's been around it. He was a player. He, you know, now is a coach.
And on the national team.
National team, I mean, he'll tell you what he'll tell you, and that's about it.
And honestly, it's not even that he's been trained. He's the one that's the steel trap himself. Like, he's probably dictating what what anyone can say.
Honestly,
like,
he does a great job, though. I mean, he controls the narrative. He controls the media room. He doesn't let any media kind of bully him around, even the ones that he probably owes, you know, more.
Yeah.
But he's also pretty good at being forthright.
I think he
he's funny.
He's oh my gosh. Peter Vermees is.
If he hasn't dug on you at least once, he didn't like you.
Right, exactly. No, and I mean, I just looking at all the freeze frames from
I saw that
interviews with him on camera. I mean, you would think that I'm getting scolded or like reprimanded, but it's just
who commented on that today.
Well, Chad said something about a surprisingly happy.
Peter Vermees.
I was about to comment, and I'm giving credit to Ali Trost on that one. He likes doing interviews with her. Like, she like brings it out of him. They have like a very good thing going on there. That's no joke. He was surprisingly happy because he was talking to Ali, and I'm giving her credit on that one.
Well, thank you. We have a nice little relationship, and I do appreciate Peter. You know, as a coach, I think he is such a good representative of the entire club and the program, and
in the league.
I mean, just this team. It's an honor to be able to talk to him afterwards and kind of hear his thoughts on the game. And he was a surprisingly happy Peter Vermees, though, despite coming off of two losses and then capping off the three game kind of streak with the tie. Although obviously they wanted the win. He did say that they grabbed something from that game, which I thought was cool, because I think whether that's something tactically or just, you know, that emotional, whatever soccer mojo you need to get back after kind of going through a little rough patch.
He said that, and I was like, oh, that's gold.
It was great.
I do have a Peter Vermees story from preseason. I think it's okay to tell.
Okay.
Would you like to hear it?
Yeah. I would.
All right.
Story time with Bob.
So that event that they held at the stadium, right? Okay, the preseason event, you know, the rah-rah, cheer, introduce the team thing, right? Okay. So here I am, the members club, you know, and I'm just hanging out a little bit before the actual player thing, right? And Peter's up here on the stairs talking to somebody, some news station with a camera, right? Mm-hmm. And there are these girls, probably 25, 26, that I got to talk to a little bit, and they're both coaches, right? And then they spot Peter Vermees, and they literally... One of the girls runs over to the stairs and says, all right, take a picture of me with Peter in the background, because he's up above. So they do. And they take this picture, right? Okay. And Peter's just coming down the stairs. I'm like, ladies, would you like to meet Peter? They said, yeah, that'd be awesome. Play over. I said, Peter, there's some coaches over here that I think might have a crush on you. Do you mind coming over and talk to him? He's like, oh, yeah, no problem. So
He's very good.
He's a man about town.
He's very good.
Yeah.
I know. It's funny because if you just see him coaching and kind of, you know, we'll go back to that vibe he gives off. Yeah. I mean, when he's in the game, like, he's very intense. He's very passionate and like can come across, I think, to someone who doesn't interact with him in a not game situation is very stern and strict and scary. But he is, like you said, he's a funny guy.
Yeah, he is.
Loves to crack jokes. And I mean, at the end of the day, he loves the fans. He loves the team. So he'll do anything to...
A little heads up on that. I am going to be interviewing him for an extended interview coming up fairly soon. So if any of my listeners out there have any questions they want me to ask, I'm going to try to get some of those questions answered as much as I can. So, okay.
Well, that's going to be about a striker. So make sure you ask about that because he needs reminded.
Yes.
But right. I think questions that I have, I don't know if you guys have ever read the transcribed speech that he gave at his Hall of Fame induction. Read it. It was awesome. I like teared up a little bit, not gonna lie. He's a really interesting guy.
Okay.
Oh, he is. But so can we, what can we offer to people who must not think that they're searching for a striker? Like, how do we make it clear to them that a search is going on?
Well, according to a particular source, in the previous window, we made multiple offers. Teams just didn't want to give up those players at that point.
And see,
so
I
know that.
We would need, I should have asked a question to this person. Like, we know Peter Vermees will not, he's not going to reach a certain point and then be like, screw it, I will spend a bunch of money on this player that I shouldn't. He's not ever going to reach a breaking point and do that.
Right.
So we should just, we know that he's going to spend it in his mind responsibly.
Mm-hmm.
Are these people who are upset still, do they want him to just, should we just throw away money? Is that what the alternative is here? That everyone, he should reach that breaking point and be like, all right, fine, we'll bring this guy in.
But like, the team scores enough goals. It's not like that goal scoring is such a huge issue that it's like, up your price because we're going to have to spend it if we want to score goals.
Yeah.
It's like I almost feel like, is that number nine search going on within the team right now, trying to solidify a striker? I mean, seeing Shallowy and some of those guys. I mean, I know they're going to try to bring a number nine in and they're going to pay a price.
They're
but
trying.
It's like, goals are still being scored. So people just need to relax and just wait for it to happen.
So what's our time right now on the podcast, Cody? Because we could really open
this up.
We're
still short. Well, we can keep going on. Because it apparently is a thing that everyone wants to talk about at all times.
Matt Doyle insists, yeah, I know a lot of people's opinions of Matt Doyle, the armchair analyst at MLS, insists that we need a number nine. You look at Toronto, you look at Seattle, both in MLS Cups the past 2 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jozy Altidore, Clint Dempsey, they had those number nine strikers.
Right. Oh, we need one. The team needs one, for sure.
Yeah.
I guess I'm
seem terribly convinced, but...
Well, especially if Kyrie is not going to be playing.
Well,
right.
Okay, and maybe I feel that way now more, but I think something, it's like Peter said, with Felipe coming back, it's like having a new player. Like, literally, it's like getting a new player. Because he made such a huge impact so early on, and now it's like...
And that will make a difference,
and that
sure.
is going to make a huge difference.
I know, I agree, and like...
But with a number nine, Sporting Kansas City would, I think, win the whole freaking cup. I mean...
Oh,
not,
Doyle even said perhaps
like that
as
would,
much. Yeah.
I don't see why they wouldn't.
Well, yes, that's the thing. Of course, everyone wants that striker, and if you like think about it, if they were to bring in a DP striker now, this team does seem like it would be like unbeatable.
It would be stacked.
But
I mean,
even if they don't bring anyone as far as a striker in this window, I still don't think that the season is lost. I don't think I think they can still win trophies. I think they can get that home playoff game that they've been looking for, and I think at a certain point, Peter will finally find his guy, whether it's in this window or the offseason.
Well, I mean, as you said earlier, he's not going to spend money recklessly, but he's also going to make sure he gets the right guy.
Yeah.
You know that. And he's had a pretty good track record recently. You know, the acquisitions he's made, Russell, Felipe, arguably Croze, but, you know,
there are people screaming right now that
yeah.
that's a negative and not a positive on Croze.
But let me ask you this. Do you feel if we don't get that player until the offseason, we don't know if Espinosa is going to be here next year. We don't know if Beezer is going to be here next year. We don't know if, who's the third one in that? Is it Sinovic? You know?
You said Beesler, Roger.
Sinovic.
When's Zusi's next year?
So can we afford to wait and see what happens with all that?
Well,
to get
especially
this striker, or do we need that striker now to take advantage of what we have now?
Well, and from the standpoint of like coming into a team that is stacked versus like trying to get a striker when you're potentially, you know, losing core players from
right.
the team. It's not as appealing of an environment to, or an attractive place to come, or, you know, environment setting.
I don't see us like
falling off a cliff after this year or
yeah. Okay. Anything I think that's like that, something to be talked about too. I mean, I've had the idea of talking, okay, so Beasler, Matt Beasler, are you in contract negotiations right now? Roger, what about you? So that's something I'm looking to be doing as well.
Yeah.
Because see, if they're going to do it, they're going to do it soon, right? Am I right? Because they don't want to be a distraction during the last part of the season, the playoffs.
Or, and they don't want it to be in the off season.
Right.
How close, just personally, do you guys think that the two of them are?
Who?
Espinoza and Beasler, just for example.
To leaving?
Yeah. Like, do you
I
think
Beasler will be here for sure.
I think Beasler will be.
Yeah.
Espinoza, they might be a guy that, okay, we've got Felipe, we've got Ilya, we've got some opportunities with Busio, Crozet, Zane. Roger might be expendable. I'd hate to see him go, but when his value is good enough and you can get something out of him, you know, especially with, what, Cincinnati coming in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Ooh. I didn't even think about that.
I hope they wouldn't let him go for nothing. But
yeah. No. As
they're
shouldn't.
In next season?
Cincinnati? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Dang. And then Nashville's 2020.
So, yeah, Roger will get... We'll leave Roger unprotected and he'll get stolen.
Could be.
That'd be really sad.
Or do what we did with Failhaber. Failhaber wasn't traded till after the...
Yeah.
The new year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, because he was still under contract. Okay, yeah. Be interesting. Anyway.
Okay, did we...
Things to think about.
Did we dissect that enough?
Yeah. We still didn't answer the question.
Yeah, I know. Okay, that's good enough. We have 40 minutes for three of us. That was solid.
Sounds good to me.
I'm starving. We miss you, Thad.
Not really, but they do.
Thad, we do miss you.
And what was your name tonight, Allie?
Oh, that? Don't say that. He doesn't like it.
Oh, because that's actually like what you call him that, though.
Please say it. Please say it out loud. See what happens.
Okay, well, Thad, I apologize in advance, but I can't help that the combination of our names is Thadly.
There you go. I prefer Thaddeus myself.
Thaddeus is a good one.
Is that his full name?
And Cody, you don't have to call me Bob again.
Oh, no,
this
I can't
is the
do that.
Second time I think it's happened. Bobber, the first time Bobber like, feels what right. Is that?
Does it feel right? Why does that feel
rolls
right?
Off the tongue. Okay, until next week.
Adios.
Go sporting.
Go sporting. Woo!
Has just been sent off. Supporters strong have all gone soft. My Fun Tang's got me drinking. My Fun Tang's got me drinking. My Fun Tang's got me drinking. Give me beer or whiskey, wine or gin. Anything to shake this mood I'm in. My Fun Tang's got me drinking. My Fun Tang's got me drinking. Yeah.